Next case is 96-1926, Quonset Hut, Inc. versus the Ford Motor Company. Ms. Kazel.
Please, the court, Your Honor. My name is Margaret Kazel. I'm here on behalf of the defendant, Ford Motor Company, seeking a reversal of the judgment of the Stark County Court of Appeals in a case where the Court of Appeals held that the trial court used its discretion because it failed to actually give notice to the non-compliant party that its case was going to be dismissed with prejudice for failure to comply with its discovery orders. I submit, Your Honor, the rules 32B and 41. The Purdue trial court enforced this order compelling discovery by dismissing the case with prejudice where it notes that the case may be dismissed with a sanction for non-compliance may be implied on the circumstances, whether the source of that notice is a party or the court itself. We submit in this case that Quonset Hut, the plaintiff, had an appropriate notice under all circumstances of this case, and that the trial court properly exercised its discretion by dismissing Quonset Hut's claim. The notice that Quonset Hut received was twofold. Twice, Ford Motor Company requested the sanction of dismissal, referenced the rule in its papers.
So you advocate the theory of implied notice.
That's correct.
Rather than actual notice that the statute calls for.
Well, the statute requires for notice, and this plaintiff actually received notice under all the circumstances of this case.
Well,
he acknowledged that notice.
No actual communication was delivered from the court by letter stating certain things are done by a certain date. This action will be dismissed.
That's correct, Your Honor. There was no actual notice from the trial court.
So you say that's not necessary.
I say that that's not necessary under the rule, sir, because the rule 37B provides that notice in the rule itself. That trial court may impose the sanction of dismissal at any time. And rule 37B allows.
But does the court have to do anything before they do that?
Well, certainly the court did in this case do something.
Well,
it compelled the discovery.
What does the statute say the court shall do?
Well, the rule says, and this court held in Ohio Furniture versus Mandela, that when you read Rule 41B together with Rule 37B2C, that there should be notice from the trial court of its intent to dismiss. But this court did not say that notice had to be in writing. And it did not say that that notice had to come from the trial court itself. It didn't come from the circumstances.
So then it sort of leaves it up to the whim of the trial court to see whether or not, in his opinion or her opinion, the party had notice.
Well, no, I don't think that I would characterize it, Your Honor, as the whim of the trial court.
Well, what would you
call
it?
The trial court has discretion.
What would you call it?
The circumstances.
Well, discretion?
The exercise of its sound discretion is what I would call it, not whim, Your Honor.
I see.
This litigant has...
But wouldn't it lead to many interpretations by the trial court of what notice was? And wouldn't that lead to a myriad of different factual findings that one could say that's correct?
Your Honor, the Ohio Furniture decision already has led to at least 22 different interpretations of what's notice. I found warning of dismissal of the court's prior orders to be notice and not to be notice. Warning of sanctions in general to be notice and not to be notice.
So we could settle it by saying that actual notice means clear written notice to the party.
You could settle it that way, Your Honor, but in fact that's not what's necessary here.
Well, let me go further. You cite Judge Jones versus Hartgrove.
That's correct, Your Honor.
As additional authority.
That's correct.
What language in Jones supports your position? Because I didn't think that was a prejudice issue at all.
This is not a prejudice issue either, Your Honor. This is a notice issue.
What language in Jones?
In Jones, this court held that notice could be applied under the circumstances as well, where the plaintiff acknowledged in its own papers that the trial court could dismiss with prejudice, just like the plaintiff did here acknowledge in its papers that the trial court was considering a dismissal with prejudice. The Jones case held that where a party deliberately fails to come prepared to present its case, that this court can apply notice when it's reasonable under all the circumstances. The circumstances in this case cry out for some kind of reasonableness.
Well, Jones says that we can imply it. You're arguing that it's implied in the facts of your case. I just didn't see how Jones was good authority for your position that you're trying to argue. Sure, we implied it, and the majority of the court applied it in that case because they found the defendant or the party just didn't come prepared, knowingly didn't come prepared.
Well, let me tell you why the Jones case is applicable in at least three ways. First of all, the Jones case had a plaintiff that admittedly was negligent in failing to have his case prepared. In this case, Quonset Hutt's lawyer admitted that every single fact in Ford's briefs were true and that sanctions were warranted. He admitted he was also negligent, sloppy, and unwillful. The second way that Jones is applicable here is that, like the Jones plaintiff, Quonset Hutt delayed resolution of this case for over a year. This isn't a case that Ford brought. This is a case that Quonset Hutt brought. All we wanted was information about the claims so that we could make a decision about how to proceed with those claims, whether we wanted to defend against them or whether we wanted to seek a settlement.
But this is an outstanding example of implied notice. I will agree with you that in this case, you couldn't have more facts on your side. But how does that help us in the future to have a standard that everyone has to apply and make more easily discernible whether notice has been given than notice from the court in writing, period?
Well, Your Honor, every one of these cases is reviewable on the abuse of discretion standard. And as Justice Cook pointed out in the Jones case, when there's a dismissal with prejudice, courts give heightened review, or even look at heightened abuse of discretion. Every one of these cases has an opportunity to be reviewed by the Court of Appeals, who can determine whether or not the trial court properly exercised its discretion, weighing all of that discretion when looking at a dismissal with prejudice.
Well, why shouldn't we eliminate all that excess work that the Court of Appeals does such a wonderful job on, and set a standard that anybody can tell whether or not there was notice or not?
Well, I believe that may have been this court's intention in Ohio Furniture, and there are 60 cases that have been decided since the Ohio Furniture decision, and 30 of them were reversed. And in those cases, at least five courts said that the Ohio Furniture case took the teeth out of Rule 37b2, prevented the trial courts from expeditiously administering justice, and allowed the courts to have their dockets clogged with discovery cases and discovery issues. If
the trial court has to depend on that rule to run this court, then he shouldn't be on the trial court.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
If the trial court has to depend on that rule to run his court, he shouldn't be there. He should have the ability to run his court without relying on some type of statute to do it for him.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Your Honor. In fact, when the trial court exercises its discretion to run his court and dismiss a case where a party has at least five opportunities to respond and three separate deadlines, then I don't think we are giving the trial court the opportunity to exercise its discretion and timely administer justice in its courtroom. So that the rule, and a black letter rule that requires a written notice from the trial court, is just a ceremonial notice at this point. And I don't think that this court needs to require a ceremonial notice to be given to any litigant. And Ford Motor Company respectfully requests that this court determine that a trial court does not abuse its discretion and that it find implied notice reasonable. Where a party twice fails to respond to discovery following orders by the trial court, has an opportunity to respond to a request for sanctions, including the sanction of dismissal, has a second chance to comply with the trial court's discovery order, and is faced with yet another request for sanctions, including the sanction of dismissal, in that case, the non-compliant party has impliedly received notice that its case may be dismissed as a sanction. Here, all the facts and circumstances in the record show that Quonset Hut had all the notice that due process requires, and accordingly, we respectfully request that this court reverse the decision of the District Health District.
Thank you, Ms. Kasel. The appellee has not timely filed a brief, and so the case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.